Read John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. And I know it's very familiar, but this is the scripture that the Lord laid upon my heart after much prayer and much debating. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. And I'm using the King James Version for this scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, I want to ask you a couple of questions this morning. And when you answer, you need to answer honestly and from your heart. Do you believe that if Jesus makes a statement, that it is true? Without a doubt, if Jesus makes a statement, it's true. If Jesus makes a promise, he will fulfill it. Do you believe that? Or do you sometimes think, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he's kept that promise. I don't know if he's kept this promise. But do you really believe that if Jesus makes a promise, he's going to fulfill it? Might not be in your time and in your way. If we were to pause very long, and I didn't get the first opening requests of prayer because I was out in the office for a minute. But if we were to pause very long this morning at all and look at or think about the ungodliness and the immorality and the crimes and the disasters, etc., that are in the world, or even at your own concerns and troubles that you or your family are having, if you were to stop or ponder them for very long at all, it becomes very easy to get discouraged and have a troubled heart. Doesn't that easily happen? Now, everything's not all doom and gloom, thank God. I don't want to get up here and preach, say, oh, isn't everything so terrible? Just look at this and just look at that. That's what I don't want you to do. I'm saying that if you start doing that, if you start putting your eyes on the things that are negative, the things that are happening, and it's not, and it's very, very easy. If you watch the news at all, even if you look at just sit around you and look at the sky nowadays, you could get very easily distressed and lose focus, because if we lose focus of the future of the born-again, faithful, holy, living child of God, you lose focus of the real future that you have, because you, well, the only way to say it is I repeat it again, you lose focus because your eyes are up on the negative and the things that are happening around us. And if you don't stay in the Word, and I say this very seriously, and it's just not a cliche, but if you don't stay in the Word and in prayer, very seriously, if you don't maintain your daily communion with God, that's something that is just, you just can't, it's not a choice. It's something that you have to in order to survive and keep your focus as a Christian. You have to, or you're going to go down. You're going to lose your focus. You're going to get distracted, and you're going to get negative, and you're going to be a miserable Christian, and you're going to be a very ineffective witness. It just won't work. The Bible, Jesus said, if you don't stay in the vine, you're not going to bear any fruit. And you just can't live this Christian life without maintaining your relationship with God. You just can't do it. You can try it, and you can make believe, and you can try to make yourself believe you can, but it's not going to work. You'll be a second-class Christian, I can tell you that, and you'll lose faith. Now, I'm not denying that the reality of the messes that are around. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying the reality of the troubles and concerns that some of you have in your life, in your family. I'm not denying that, and there are legitimate problems and concerns. I know. We all have them. You come to church here, by looking at you, I would think, well, just look at them. They don't have a care in this world, huh? You know, not a thing is bothering them. They're not flawed by anything, which is really a fake appearance. Am I right? Mm. Right? Anybody here has not a care in the world? Well, I think you could come to the altar if you're telling me that. We all have them different, and they're different concerns. And I'm not denying them. We all have them. But we can't allow them to be our main focus. Keep your focus. We go back to the scripture that we read. If we go back, skip back to chapter 13, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's kind of giving them the heads up and just working them into it, kind of, that he's going to be betrayed and he's going to leave them. I'm going to be leaving you soon. You know, and when anybody tells us that, I know I've gone through it. I've had two boys that have left me, and I'm still not totally happy with my son over in Germany. I sometimes pray whether it's God's will or not that he be sent home. That's not nice. But we all, let's face it, whether we've lost someone by death or someone in our family has moved away or left us for some reason, it hurts. And we get upset and we get sad. And Jesus knew that his disciples felt that way. He knew that they were troubled and they were hurt and they were getting kind of losing their focus. And he said, he wanted to encourage them, and he said, don't let your heart be troubled. And think about whatever is concerning you today. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be upset now. Don't be downcast. Trust God. Trust me. Trust God. Believe in God. Like, you know, and those things are only temporary, the things that you see around you, the concerns that you have, they're only temporary. They will pass. And he's saying, don't worry. I got it all under control. You know, trust me. I know what I'm doing. I've got a plan. Do you ever think about your problems in that way, and you go to the Lord and you say, what Lord, what Lord, what Lord? And we've been there. When we resigned in our last church, we were 8 months before we got a church, and we felt like sometimes saying, yeah, you know, the Lord, we needed to hear it really loud for the Lord to say, trust me, I got a plan. Don't worry, I got it all under control. Don't let your heart be troubled. And as humans, we do let our hearts be troubled. Legitimately, we're humans. But he was saying, and I want you to think about this and let it go with you, get it into your heart and mind. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry, I've got it all under control. I got a plan. Just trust me, I know what I'm doing. And sometimes, you know, we like to have it all under our control. We like to be able to tell the Lord what to do and how to do it and when to do it, don't we? Yeah. We don't like to say, well, yeah, okay, Lord, I guess I got to trust you. And even with all the things that are happening in the world, it's easy for us to think, well, where's God? You know, really? You know, everything's just gone out of control, it would seem, including the wildfires. Hey? But if you look at the news, I mean, you know, even in Canada, even in Fredericton, shootings, someone's gone crazy. You say, boy, this world's gone crazy. And you know, that's not a nice thing to say, the person's gone crazy, but I suppose, let's say, mentally unstable. And you wonder if there's much stability in our world at all. But the Lord is saying to us this morning, look, don't worry. Don't keep your eyes on all the things that's happening around you, because I know what's happening. And he knew what was going on in the disciples' hearts, and he understands that your heart might be troubled about some things. But he wants you to know this morning that he knows and he understands. And you know what? He has a plan, and we're going to look at that plan for a second. You know, unfortunately, but realistically, trusting God doesn't necessarily and it doesn't automatically take away our troubles, does it? I trust God, so therefore, boom, everything is perfect. It doesn't work that way. There were many people in the Bible who had great faith that went through many trials and many afflictions. Some of them died in their faith, not seeing what they believed for. So why didn't their faith just automatically take care of the things that they were believing for and bring them to them right now? Some of them died not seeing what they prayed for, what they believed for. You read Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, it's a wonderful book of faith. We concentrate on the ones that look at Noah. Wow. Look at Abraham. Wow. Look at this one. Wow. But you go down to the end of the chapter, and there's some there that lost their lives for their faith, and they didn't see accomplish what we think their faith should have accomplished. My definition of faith is trusting in God means you completely trust God in his wisdom and his will for whatever the outcome. Lord, whatever the outcome, I'm trusting you. It's out of my hands. And you know, when you just say, Lord, whatever it is, whatever is your will, That, in my own words, says that transfers the situation and the concern and the trouble from your shoulders, you know, over to his. Here, you take it. It's like when you're carrying a load and you're sharing the load. Okay, now it's your turn. You know, you've done that, hey? Probably. Okay, and it is take your troubles when you're trusting in the Lord. Don't let your heart be troubled. Okay, here, Lord, you take it. I can't handle it anymore. It's in your hands. And therefore, that gives you the right focus, and it gives you peace, doesn't it? Because there's some things you just can't control. You can't handle them. You have no choice but trust them and leave them in the Lord's hands. So secondly, Jesus, we go down to the next verse, and he says, so, you know, it's always nice to get some good news when we get bad news, isn't it? A little bit of good news always helps with the bad news. And he's trying to soothe the bad news that he's leaving and the things that are going to happen to them with some good news. And he says, you know what? I'm going to paraphrase it now, but this is basically what it says according to my version. You know, I'm going with my Father to be with my Father. And where I'm going, you know, is awesome. You know, it's an amazing place. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you know what? I'm going to prepare a place for you. But not only that, but I'm going to come again, and I'm going to take you with me to be with me. Now, that should help, shouldn't it, with the bad news that they just got? Now, and it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. We're not going to get into the interpretation of all that, because we all have our opinions, really, I suppose. I couldn't find anywhere where it says that I'm going to have a building, a mansion, a physical mansion, but if you want to believe that, that's okay. The Greek word for mansions that I found was mone, which means an abode or a dwelling. And the NIV version says rooms, and the New American Standard version says enough room, a dwelling place. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I would have you know, Michelle, says enough room for all. And the place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us, it's an awesome place, and you know what? There's enough room for everyone. It's an amazing place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, Paul says, now we know that if, and you know, we can't concentrate on, I'm going to have a mansion. Isn't that going to be wonderful? I looked around some places, and I said to my husband, you know, people don't need a mansion in heaven. They already got one. According to some of the homes I've seen built around, I said, you know, no wonder people don't want to go to heaven. They already got their own mansion. But be that as it may. Paul said, now we know that if our earthly tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands, but it goes on to say, our heavenly dwelling. Heaven is going to be awesome, and we're going to look at that in a minute. Randy Alcorn, who wrote the book called Heaven, says, the Bible or Revelation portrays heaven life in God, as life in God's presence. In our resurrected bodies, in a resurrected universe, so exciting and compelling that even the youngest and healthiest of us should daydream about it. So don't get your focus on, oh, I wonder how big my mansion is going to be. Where is it going to be? Well, whether it is or not, that's not the point. The point is you have to get your focus off that, and you have to get your focus off all the things that are around you and realize that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. He said it. It's true, right? He said he's going to prepare a place for you. You really got to believe it. And do you believe he's going to come back and take you there? And shouldn't that help you with when you see the things going on, you got to get back on track? And I think that's what the Lord wanted me to do this morning and say, look, we've got a better future. We've got a great future, you know. You can look at the troubles all around you, but we've got a great future. And he said to the disciples, he must have known that they would doubt him. He said, I'm telling you, it's true. If it wasn't true, I'd tell you. Don't we say that sometimes? You say, really, that's not true. Yes, it is true. It's my opinion. A little bit high, but a bit high pitch, but here you got it. It's true. Do you believe it's true? Well, then that should change your focus a little bit, shouldn't it? He said, not only am I going to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back and take you with me. Can't you anticipate that? I think about Graham and them. I do think about you more than you think I do. having lost your daughter. And you can, you know, you must have found such consolation knowing where Emma will be you know, that it totally changes your focus when you know that when you lay a loved one aside in the grave, and if they've known Christ, that it's just a totally different story, isn't it? Totally different picture as compared to someone that you have to lay in the grave and you're not sure, or you know, that they didn't have things made right with God. This scripture changes the picture totally, doesn't it? It sounds like something, this is what I wrote here. I was thinking, I might have a crazy imagination sometimes, but it sounds like something some rich young romantic man would say to a damsel, I'm going to prepare this wonderful place for you, and I'm going to come back and take you with me, and we'll be together forever, you know? Now, some man might say that, and it might be in the movies, but if an earthly man says that, we might say, yeah, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see how that works out. Because don't we know we can't always trust what man says? Now, I don't mean men now. I mean, got my foot in my mouth now. I mean us earthly people. But we can trust what Jesus says. Didn't we already say that? And if he says he's gone to prepare an awesome place for us, he has. And he is coming back. We've got no worries. It's gonna happen. It's going to happen. We're not going to be disappointed in that one. But it's so easy when we get caught up in our daily lives to forget what our future really is. So I want us to look for a few minutes at this place that Jesus is talking about. Because if someone says, I'm going to a place, I'm going to prepare it for you. Well, what kind of place? What's it like? Well, we're going to read a little bit about what this place is like, because I think you need to hear it to really get it in your mind. We're going to read Revelation chapter 21, and I'm using the New International Version for this just because I found it a little bit easier to read. Wasn't so many these and thous and its and all this on it. And Revelation chapter 21, we're going to read verses 1 to 5 first, and then we'll start at verse 10, and I'll see how far we'll go, but we may go to the end of the chapter and skip a few things. I'll see. This is what our new home is going to be like. You're going to talk about a home today, but you know, it's nothing compared to, that's just an earthly building. It's nothing compared to what your eternal home is going to be like. I mean, we need a home to live in. Sure, you do too, and everyone else, and that's not a, you know, whatever. But we can't get so focused on that we forget what our eternal home is like. That's just temporary. Roof over your head, you know. But what your eternal home is like? And it says, then I saw, this is John speaking in the Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And let's go up to verse 10. Kind of repeats a little bit of the first verse. And he carried me away in the spirit, the angel did, to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? To comprehend it? It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. When Jesus prepares a place, he really prepares a place, eh? The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia, in which is about 2,200 kilometers. In length and as wide and high as it was long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits high One version says thick, and that's about 200 feet, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. And I'm not going to read all the stones because I might say the words wrong. Let's go down to verse 21. What they're awesome, precious stones. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The street gate, the great street of the city was of pure gold like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure, now this is a special place, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you want to go down to verse 22, that's awesome. It's awesome. I just don't want to take the time to read it. It talks about the river of the water of life and the tree of life. And it says there will be no longer be any curse, and we will reign forever and ever. Are you getting getting a little bit excited? Can I get at least a smile? You're allowed to say hallelujah to that. Hallelujah. Right? You're allowed to say, because that, if you said it's true, and that's your eternal home if you're born again. Right? So thank you. It should make you feel that way. And we go on to it says, where is it? After the devil, back in verse 20, I'm getting a little bit here now. In chapter 20, this is after the devil has been thrown into the lake of fire. Isn't that good news? Amen. No more tempter, we'll have no more tempter then. But the sad news is that not everyone is going to go to heaven. Contrary to what is sometimes taught and people are made to believe, no, we can't just sugar it up and say, oh yeah, everybody's going to heaven, isn't that good? We'd like to believe that, but according to the scripture, it says in chapter 20 and verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, it's great to talk about heaven, but there's hell as well. Don't we have to face that reality? I'm sorry, but not everybody goes to heaven. Not everybody is going to heaven, and we got to preach the truth. And that's a little bit of bad news, but that is the truth. And it's a bit of bad news for me when I think about my family that may not be ready. You know, I'm excited about heaven. I sometimes think, well, Lord, you're going to come for sure. Wouldn't that be great? But then my next thought is, but, Lord, maybe some of my family are not ready. And I think, well, wait, Lord, you know, because I think, I don't want to, this might not sound totally right, I don't want to go to heaven and my loved ones be left behind. Hey, isn't that sad? That would be sad. But if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, they were thrown into the lake of fire. And if anyone's going to listen to this podcast, I want to tell you that if you're not born again, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus said, if you're not born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. Yeah. It's scripture. But you can. By giving your life to Christ, it's very simple. And the enemy so many times just distracts and distracts our young people, distracts the adults into thinking, hey, I don't know if I should say it, but on the pamphlet of the man that passed away here last week, he said, they said he was living life to the fullest. You know, don't sweat the small stuff. It's only small stuff. But, you know, the devil can get you so distracted with the small stuff and get you distracted into thinking, well, this is the life. There's nothing and there's nothing. Just live her up now, you know, right? Live it up. And after this, there's nothing. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but the Bible says after this, the judgment. And if you're not right with the Lord, you are thrown into the lake of fire. Where are you this morning? Where do you stand? Is your name written in the book of life? Are you sure? Are you sure? If Jesus were to come today, and according to the pastor's sermon last Sunday, and we don't need to look very far, you can almost see the scripture fulfilled on the TV screen. Can't you? I know when the sun was blocked out this week because of the smoke, and the sun was, it was hazy, and I watched the Weather Channel, and some man came on there and said it was kind of spooky, you know? And I thought, well, what's it going to be like in the tribulation if they think this is spooky? And they think the floods that are happening in India and even in Toronto, you get the little videos on there and people are screaming, you know, well, it's going to get a little bit worse than that, or a whole lot worse. So this is reality. People, don't get your focus. Don't let your heart be troubled and distracted by the things that are happening around you. Keep your focus on heaven. That is your eternal home. Not just on, oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. Won't that be wonderful? That's good. But on keeping your heart right with God, that you are ready. Keep yourself ready with God, because he could come any time. So if you're here this morning and you're not right with God, or you're not sure you are right with God, you know, you don't know about if you have tonight. We've seen that, haven't we? You don't know if you have this afternoon. Time is not guaranteed to us, is it? In any way, we know that. We like to think it. We think we're going to live forever until we decide, okay, now I want to go. But if you're here this morning and you're not right with God, I want to urge you. You can come to this altar at any time, or you can talk to the pastor or someone. Just make sure that your heart is right with God. You know, this life is so temporal, isn't it? It's nice to enjoy life. Yeah, I'm enjoying life. You know, I'm enjoying time with my grandchildren. I'm enjoying life, thank God. I am. We've got a lot of good things happening. We're very, very blessed, aren't you? If I look at you, I think you all are very blessed, aren't you? Yeah. And it's good that God has blessed you. It's good. But, you know, don't get so taken up with that you forget that there's eternity, and that's the most important place and time factor that you have to think about. So I didn't give Mavis the hymn that we were going to sing. We're going to sing "What a Day That Will Be." When my Jesus I shall see.
Eh? And just, it says in scripture, all the trials that we go through now will just seem as nothing when we just 1 second on that side. Hey? Just one glimpse of his face, and you won't even really think about all the things that you went through down here. Melinda, you're not going to need that scooter when you get to heaven. Hey? Don't you look, isn't that great? No. No more pain. Isn't that wonderful? Those of you who have pain, Dr. Raw, we won't need you in heaven. You're going to be out of a job in heaven. Sorry. There'll be no more sickness there. We appreciate our medical staff, and I used to be a nurse, and I loved it, because there was lots of sickness. But, you know, in heaven, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death over there. We're not going to have to say goodbye to our loved ones anymore. Huh? What a day that will be. And it could be any day. Could be any day. So if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're ready for that day, I want to urge you, look, you cannot fool around with this. Make sure you're ready, because Jesus is coming soon.